Blog Talk Radio.
But committed no crime and bad mistakes. I've made a few. I've had my share.
And welcome back to the Transform Traveler Show. I'm Rick Tokini. We are looking forward to providing you information all summer long as you are taking your summer vacations. And as many of you listeners out there know, one of our favorite advisors is Dr. Lin Hu Tang, who wrote the book, The Importance of Living. We continue to draw great insight on travel from Dr. Lin Hu Tang, and we thought we would read some of the more memorable parts of what he has written about travel and just kind of get you synchronized with Transform Travel and think about how you can become transformed this summer. It really starts with the concept of when you travel through your five senses and have some intentional spontaneity when it comes to your travel. And that means that when you're going out to travel, do it through your five senses. But also know that as you're going along, you're not going to be able to plan to stop at a garden. That's something that you're going to have to do to get a great awakening of your olfactory, or to hear a band that's playing in a small town. Now, those are the sort of things that have to be spontaneous, that will bring about a great awakening and illumination to your travel. Dr. Lin Hu Tang said that travel used to be a pleasure, now it has become an industry. Well, to his point, it's become a $15 trillion worldwide industry. That's trillion with a T. No doubt there are greater facilities for traveling today than 100 years ago. And governments with their official travel bureaus have exploited the tourist trade with the result that the modern man travels on the whole much more than his grandfather or even their parents. Nevertheless, travel seems to have become a lost art. In order to understand the art of travel, one should first of all be aware of the different types of false travel, which is no travel at all. And the first kind of false travel, folks, is travel to improve one's mind. This matter of improving one's mind has undoubtedly been grossly overdone. We doubt here at the Transform Traveler that very much your mind can be easily improved. We just think that it can be transformed and changed. There is very little evidence that your brain is going to change unless you're traveling with children that are between the ages of 4 to 8 when your brain is being shaped. The interesting part about false travel as well is giving rise to this institution of tolerable chattering kind of interfering busybodies that anyone can imagine. One cannot pass a square or a bronze statue without his attention being called to the fact of so-and-so was born on April 23rd, 1792, and died on December 2nd, 1852. This particular author, Dr. Lin Hu Tang, said that he had seen convent sisters escorting school sisters to a cemetery, and as the group stopped by before a tombstone, reading to them from a book the dates of the deceased, the age in which they were married, the name and the surname of the wife, and such learned nonsense. He felt like they spoiled the entire trip for the children. The grown-ups themselves were turned into a group of school children being vociferously lectured by the guide, and in the case of the travelers of the more studious types, they also took notes like good school children. It's like they turned into children themselves. Chinese tourists suffer like American tourists at Radio City, with the difference that Chinese guides are not very professional. They are typically fruit sellers or donkey drivers or even peasant boys whose information is less correct. And if their personalities are perhaps a little bit more lively, it's your luck. The second kind of false travel is just mere conversation in order that one may talk about it afterwards. Dr. Lin Hutang had said that he had seen visitors at Hang Chow, a place famous for its tea and spring water, having their picture taken in the act of lifting teacups to their lips. To be sure, it is highly poetic sentiment to show friends a picture of themselves drinking tea at this place. But the danger is that one spends less thought on the actual taste of the tea than on the photograph itself. This sort of thing can become an obsession, especially with travelers provided with cameras. And today, since we all have, majority of people travel with smartphones with great cameras, this is what the issue could be. The tourists, not the transform travelers, are so busy with their cameras that they have no time to look at the places themselves. Of course, they have the privilege of looking at them in the pictures afterwards when they go home, but it is obvious that pictures of Trafalgar Square or the Champs-Élysées can be bought in New York or in Peking. As these historical places become places to be talked about afterward, places to be looked at, it is natural that the more places one visits, the richer the memory will be, and the more places there will be to talk about. This urge for learning and scholarship, therefore, impels the tourist to cover as many points as possible in a day. He has in his hand a program, perhaps a Rick Steves guide of places to visit. And he comes to a place, he checks it off with a pencil on the program. I suspect such travelers are trying to be efficient, even on their holiday. This sort of crazy, foolish travel necessarily produces the third type of false travelers, those who travel by schedule, knowing beforehand exactly how many hours they're going to spend in Vienna or Budapest or London or Florence. Before such a traveler departs, he makes a perfect schedule for himself and religiously adheres to it, bound by the clock, run by the calendar, as he is at home and is at business. He is still bound by the clock and run by the calendar while abroad. In place of these false types of travel, what we propose here is the true motives of travel, and they should be. In this, in first place, the true motive of travel should be to become lost and unknown. More poetically, we may describe it as travel to forget. Everyone is quite respectful in his hometown, no matter what the higher social circles think of. He is tied by a set of conventions, rules, habits, and duties. A banker finds it difficult to be treated just as an ordinary human being at home and to forget that he is a banker. And it seems to me the real excuse for travel is that he shall be able to find himself in a community in which he's just an ordinary human being, not the banker, not some trumped-up important person. Letters of introduction are very well for people on business trips, but business trips are by definition outside the category of pure travel. A man stands a poor chance of discovering himself as a human being if he brings along with him letters of introduction and finding out exactly how God made him as a human being apart from the artificial accidents of social standing, like being a banker. Against the comforts of being well-received by friends in a foreign country and guided efficiently through the social strata of one's own class, there's this greater excitement of being a Boy Scout in a forest, left to his own devices. He has the chance to prove for himself that he can order a fried chicken with the language of fingers alone, or find his way about a town by communicating with Tokyo police. At least such a traveler can come home less tenderfootish, dependence upon his chauffeur and his butler. See, it's leaving behind all of your preconceived notions and your status in life, and it's really about going out and getting lost and becoming a part of a community, that human global community as well. We think a true traveler is also a vagabond, with the joys and the temptations and the sense of adventure of a vagabond. Either travel is vagabonding or no travel at all. The essence of travel is to have no duties, no fixed hours, no email, no phone calls, no inquisitive neighbors, and certainly no destination. Traveler is one who does not know where he's going to. And a perfect traveler does not even know where he came from. He does not even know his own name and surname. This is this whole notion is emphasized in a book called Travels of Mingle Atis, which has been translated in the book The Importance of Living. And the greatest line in this book, folks, is that not to care for anybody in particular is to care for mankind in general. So not having any particular friend in having everybody as one friend is to love mankind in general. And in this book, the author mixes them together and goes about observing the charms of people and all of their customs. This kind of benefit is entirely missed by those travelers on sightseeing buses who stay in the hotel, converse with fellow passengers from their home country, and in the case of many American travelers in Europe, they make a point of eating and rendezvousing at places that are also found in America, like Starbucks. English travelers in Shanghai make sure that they put up at an English hotel where they can have their bacon and eggs and toast marmalade at breakfast and hang about at the cocktail lounge and do all things English. Aren't they terribly hygienic, to be sure? Why aren't they out there leisurely being with the rest of the people in Shanghai and really appreciating the general benefits and the greatest benefits of travel? This whole spirit of vagabondage makes it possible for people taking a vacation to get closer to nature as well. Travelers of this kind will therefore insist on going to summer resorts where there are the fewest people and one where they can get solitude. Well, travelers of this sort do not even get into the true pureness of great travel. It's just kind of like putting lipstick on a pig. It's not really engaging where you're going and becoming a different person and giving yourself even a chance to be transformed. Is life so terrible that you have to escape from the rest of your busy life to not be engaged with the rest of the world, other cultures, to be changed, to learn more about yourself? So what we want you to take away from this particular session is that if you will embrace your adventure, go out and travel, get lost, be absorbed in somebody else and somebody else's needs, then you will grow as a human being and as an individual. And thus, you will go through your own transformation through the great art of travel. I'm Rick Tokini. Thanks for joining us. This show has been sponsored by AAA and also by Graceful Years Greeting Cards and their signature journals, which includes the Transform Traveler Journal. If you want to find out more information on this journal, you can go to shop.transformtraveler.com. And if you're a member of AAA, you can get the journals and many others for 40% off discount. Folks, have a great day, and remember to stay curious and be the change you wish to see in this great world of ours. Have a good one.